Kids, you are dismissed for Children's Church with Donna. Well, we're going to continue in our study of 2 Corinthians. And we, as we do that, again, I want to remind you, bring your Bibles with you. Even though we put the scriptures up on the screen when we want, I want to encourage you to be marking your Bible, jotting down notes, just checking to see what's there and the context. As again, we take and read a portion, we want to take a big enough piece to have it in context, but sometimes you need to be reading even farther around it. So, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we are not found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home and in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So, we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that we can read it and study it each and every day. That you have opened it up for us and presented it here. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit so that we wouldn't be looking at the word through just our human wisdom and discernment, Lord, but that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and give us understanding which is beyond that of ourselves. Lord, I pray for each person here that you would speak to them this day, that this morning they will know that they've heard from you, that somehow, Lord, whether it's through the word that I'm preaching, the songs that are sung, the prayers that are prayed, through just visiting with one another here, before and after, they will know that they have met with you today. That, Lord, that you will touch them and encourage and bless them. And that each one here will be brought one step closer, Lord, to you and our relationship to you. Lord, we can always grow closer. Might we grow closer in our understanding and our love of you. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me that as I preach, that you would use me to bless your people. Those who know you and those who will come to know you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last couple of weeks, we've been working through chapter 4. We saw that we were jars of clay, that we were imperfect, that we're not supposed to be seeking God's glory. And when we see that God did create us and He built us, and we looked and we saw things which are unseen, the things of God, the Holy Spirit, the things that are eternal, which isn't what we see here, but what we see with our spiritual eyes and what God is doing. This week, Paul is talking about tents and heavenly dwellings, buildings versus a tent. How many here have ever been camping in a tent? Which protects you better? A well-built building or a tent in a rainstorm? Again, well-built. It's going to be... I've been in tents in rainstorms. Sometimes the tent works okay if the rainstorm isn't too bad. But I remember one time up in the Boundary Waters, we camped in the middle of a storm. A storm came up and we were in the middle of a portage. And we're setting up our tents in the rain. Not only did we have to set up in the rain, but we had to set up in the middle of the portage itself because we couldn't get to a campsite. It just got dark, storm came up. Well, we're there in this, setting up these tents, and we're soaked. We're going, yeah, we're going to get in the tent, we're going to get dry, right? Wrong. Rain came down so hard, it actually flooded up from below. We had water running through the tent. Needless to say, the sleeping bags got soaked. So did we. It wasn't much shelter, though it was better than being out of the rain. That's kind of the way we are here on this earth. Our bodies, sometimes they don't work so good. We're talking about all our aches and pains and sicknesses and et cetera today. Well, 2 weeks ago, getting ready for the garage sale, I'm moving some stuff out of the office, taking it down on the furniture dolly around, and I happened to step on the strap of the furniture dolly that pulled the furniture dolly out of my hands and onto my foot. My toe is very beautiful. It is colorful. Yellows, greens, blues. And it hurts when it's in a dress shoe. I can just add that to the catalog of things that's wrong with this tent, this temporary structure here. It doesn't always work as well as we'd think. But Paul is comparing our bodies to something which is more permanent. In fact, which is permanent. Isn't that what we're in right now, our bodies? They're temporary. Okay? They're impermanent. They're our earthly dwelling. See, this body is not the one I'm meant to have for all eternity. Praise God. It's broken. Some of you here say, I got more broken than you do. Well, it's not about trying to say who has better or not. It's none of our earthly bodies are meant to be permanent. As a matter of fact, they're meant to grow up, get old, and pass away. To be that seed for that eternal. Paul is comparing and contrasting that which is permanent with that which is impermanent. What we're experiencing here on this earth is impermanent, temporary, not meant to last. But the building he talks about that we will be housed in later, our new body, is permanent. It is lasting. It is strong. Now, the one is current, and the other is future. Contemporary is now. But Paul, as he's talking here, he said, "For while we are in the tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." When I read that word picture, which Paul has crafted here, what we have is the picture of being swallowed by life, that which is temporary. Normally we think of being swallowed by death when the body goes into the grave. You know, death is going to take us. Say, no. When the temporary goes, we will be swallowed by life. Now, that is not the normal way of thinking. It's abnormal. Which is probably why I get it. It's different. God is saying, look, what is temporary is going to be swallowed up by life. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross. See, He did pay the penalty for our sins. And when we die, Paul is talking here, we go from being in this temporary, impermanent, not so wonderful tabernacle, tent, into a building which has been constructed by divine hands. I don't know about you, you should look at some of my construction projects. Some are better than others after I've practiced a few times. But yet, it's not perfect. Even my best ones don't even come close to perfect. In fact, every time I've been involved in a construction project, I've made mistakes. Usually it's leaving blood behind type of mistake. But, you know, measure twice, cut once. Well, usually I measure once and cut five times. And the board's still too short. Well, that when the Lord, when He builds us, He's building our permanent structure. And we're going to be swallowed up by life as we're put into this new structure. God has made us for the purpose of being with Him for eternity. So we can be confident. See, God created us as we are so that we could move on to the next step. See, God originally intended for us to spend eternity with Him, fellowship with Him, spending time with Him, doing the work that He gave us to do. That's never changed. That plan was and is and always shall be. Because that's what God's plan is. That we're going to be with Him. So even though we're currently in these temporary, impermanent structures, when this goes away, we get to move into our permanent housing. Anybody ever have to live in temporary housing? Isn't it nice when you get into the permanent? Isn't that so nice? I lived in my mother's basement a couple of times between churches. It wasn't. Yes, it was. it wasn't what we all wanted, but it was what was necessary at the time. It was necessary to go through that until I could get into my permanent house, the one that I have right now. Now, it's a great house, but yet even this, the house that I have right now, is temporary. It's not for eternity. But what's coming is that permanent. Where instead of us being naked, it speaks of these temporary bodies as being naked, unclothed. For your benefit and all our benefits, we are all clothed today. But why are we unclothed? Why is he talking about this unclothed? I believe that we're unclothed because we're still in sin. I mean, this is where we had, where we realized that we were naked, wasn't it? Back in the garden, Adam and Eve walking around, you know, they eat the apple and they go, oh, wow, let's find some leaves. You know, God shows up and they say, sorry, God, we can't come out and see you. Why? Well, you know, we're naked. Well, who told you? And this is what people that Paul is writing this letter to are going to be brought back to. They're going to start thinking about this, about that Genesis story. So we should be thinking about, well, what's going on there? Well, God had created Adam and Eve to fellowship with Him and be with Him. But then they fell in sin. But then He promised them that there would be redemption, that it would come. And that's what happened. Jesus came. That redemption is there. And He gave us the Holy Spirit when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit is the deposit of eternity for our new eternal dwelling. That's our Lord, our God, comes and resides within us, telling us, it's okay. It's this promise that you're going to get that final home. And you'll be with me for eternity. We can trust it so we can have confidence because God has given us that deposit. If you go to buy something at the store, or you go to buy something, you know, out of the paper, if you show up and say, you know, I'm going to buy that, the guy says, make me confident. Give me a down payment. Give me a deposit. And if you make that down payment, then they're confident that you're going to, that you will do the purchase. Well, we're confident that God is going to take us to be with Him because He's given us the down payment, the deposit of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that we live by faith, not by sight. I mean, anybody here see the Holy Spirit living in me? I mean, can you look at me and see that? You know, can you point to the Holy Spirit right now? No, but hopefully you can see the Holy Spirit in my actions and see Him being lived out through me. But we can't see. It's unseen, yet we see. How do we do that? Spiritual sight. But I just can't look at it. It's not like I got a picture. I don't have a photograph of the Holy Spirit. Yet, one day, this body is going to be gone. It's going to be swallowed up by life. One day, your body will be gone. It will be swallowed by life if you have the Holy Spirit as a down payment. You see, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul also goes on to say, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. What? Okay, if I'm in the body, if I'm home, or if I'm gone, well, if I'm not in here, where am I going to be? Let's be honest that we're either with, we're either in the body or we're with the Lord in heaven. We're one of those two places. And we should be eager to go there. But yet so often we want to stay. Now we should make the best of it. You know, when I was living with my mom and stepfather in their basement with my family, it was nice to be there. I mean, it was much better than the alternative, which was no house. So I was thankful for it, but I didn't say, you know, I've gotten so comfortable here in my mom's basement, I'm going to live here forever. They didn't want that, and I didn't want that. But yet sometimes we do that. We say, you know, I want to stay here forever. Here's not as good as there. This is the temporary, impermanent, falling apart thing. The one that's built by God, that's eternal, that's, you know, eternal, going to go forever, not falling apart. That's the one that we go to. Now, should I live in the falling down, dilapidated structure and try to stay here and not go there? Or should I make the best of it while I'm here, but as soon as the opening's there and I can get in the other one, I should go? Well, that's kind of what we should be doing. Instead of being tied and trying to tie ourselves to here, you know, to be here is good, but to be there is better. To be here in our temporary body with the Holy Spirit within us is good, but to be in our heavenly dwelling, in the presence of the Lord, in our new bodies, that is better. But we're cautioned that we need to please Him, whether we're at home or away. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Hold it. He's talking to Christians here. He's telling you that I have to appear before the judgment seat and I'm going to be judged about what I did with this while in this temporary dwelling, whether good or bad. Yeah. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. That's often referred to as the judgment seat, great white throne of judgment. It says here, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled away from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead and were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay. Not so good if your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life. But if we've received Jesus, our Lord and Savior, have that down payment, that deposit. Our name is written in that book. But yet still it says, it talks about us being judged. What's going on there? Well, if you go to Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And here we have the story of the 10 minutes. And while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Now, again, he's talking about the kingdom of God. So we need to understand what's going on here. This is meant to describe that which is eternal, the kingdom of God, and what's going to happen when we go there. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return." Sound familiar, anybody? This would be like Jesus. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minutes. "Put this money to work," he said, "until I come back." But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We don't want this man to be our king." He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina returned 10 more." "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. The master answered, "You take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it and laid it away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are hard. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow." And the master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put the money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minutes. "Sir," they said, "he already has 10. He replied, "I tell you, that to everyone who has, more will be given. But for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." This is the judgment seat that's being described here in this parable. We, his followers, will come up before him and will be judged upon what we did. How well did we follow Jesus? Did I do what he told me to do? Did you do what he told you to do? If so, if you've been charged with a little, you'll be given more. See, there will be different rewards based upon how well we follow God. Now, we all get into heaven who've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Yes, we get that part. But once we're in heaven, is that it? No. We spend eternity working with God, for God, doing what it is He wants us to do, what He's charged us to do. But what we do here does lay up treasure for us in heaven. What are those treasures? Rewards that the Lord gives us. Salvation means that we're with the Lord forever. Paul is telling us here to remember that not only will we be with the Lord forever, but we will be judged too. Will I be found to have been a good follower? A wonderful follower? I don't know. But we should strive. So make it our goal to please Him whether we are at home or away from it. Whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we all must appear before the judgment seat. We're going to have to answer for what we do. And there will be a reward for what we do right. There will be a consequence for what we do contrary to God's word. But I've been forgiven of my sin. Yes, you're forgiven of your sin. But don't you want more than just to get into heaven smelling of smoke naked? Like one who's just come from a fire? Tell you what, when I get to heaven, I don't want to be just that I've been snatched out. I want to show up and be able to lay before my throne of my God. Lord, this is what I did that brought honor and glory to your name. This is what I participated in. That was good. There's a blessing that's there that's above and beyond just getting to heaven. There's more. Don't you want it? Saying, but you're, Pastor, now you're trying to get us that greedy. No, I'm asking you to reach for that which is better. Don't be satisfied with that which is temporary and impermanent. That which was crafted by imperfect hands, but instead, how about that which was crafted by those divine hands of God, which was meant to be eternal. Spirit is our deposit. We can have confidence in our Lord. This body will pass away, and we will go before the judgment seat. You do have a court date. We all do. Each and every creature, each and every person will one day to stand before the Father and answer. It's going to be great to have Jesus saying, this one's covered with my blood. He's been washed clean. Have the Holy Spirit testifying. I live in His heart. His seal. I've sealed Him. Yet it will be better if I'll be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Will that not be better? So we each need to strive for. Seek to please Him, our Lord, Savior, Jesus. So that we might best serve Him for eternity. We better serve Him now. We can better serve Him later. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have this plan, and it was all in place from the beginning. And that we're going to be able to take and move from these imperfect, temporary bodies into our eternal home with You. That we will be clothed with Your Spirit. That we might be with You for eternity, serving You, fellowshipping with You. Lord, doing what it is You created us to do. To be together. Father, help us while we're here on this earth to not become too attached to it, that we lose focus about where it is that we're going. Might we do well here, but Lord, might we strive. Might we work for eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.